I spent a couple of days looking at. In Mark chapter 6, we see the story of Jesus and the disciples, and how Jesus, with the disciples, the people followed them, and Jesus had compassion for them as they were seeking after him. And he taught them, and he was obviously teaching them a great deal. And in that teaching, he taught them all throughout the day, so that it was late in the day. And he told the disciples to give them something to eat. And their response is, well, what do you want us to do? Take the $40 we have and go buy some food, because there's 5,000 men that are here. So how do we do that? And that's where, of course, Jesus, in verse number 38 of Mark chapter 6, and he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had, they looked and they saw that they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He commanded the people to sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the bread, and gave to the disciples to set before them the 2 fish, and divided he amongst them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And it says they also had 12 baskets of fragments left over of fish and of bread. So this is one of the times that we see that miraculous feeding of the multitudes. Here, 5,000 men, which means that's not counting the women and the children. So you can easily say 15, 20,000, perhaps even more than 20,000 people that were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as we looked at that, I also showed you that this is not the first time that we see that. We see this example even before Jesus, because this is the heart of God to meet our needs. It is his heart's desire that we have, and it's his desire to show us how faithful he is and that he will supernaturally provide for us in the same way that he supernaturally provided for his children in the wilderness. He provided bread from heaven, manna, for them in the wilderness that they would have. Imagine trying to feed 1 million people every day in the wilderness. That's in the barren place. There's not a lot of grocery stores or farms in the desert, right? In the wilderness area. And yet he provided for them. This is the heart of Jesus. He always provides for us. But if we look in the book of 2 Kings, and we touched on this a couple days ago, we also see a story with Elijah. This is 2 Kings chapter 4. In verse number 42, and this is from the Amplified Bible, it says, at another time, a man from Baal Shalista came and brought the man of God, talking about Elijah, the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in the husk in his sack. And Elijah said, give to the men that they may eat. His servant said, well, how am I to set only this before 100 hungry men? He said, give to the men that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall be fed and have some left. So he set it before them, and they all ate, and some was left, as the Lord had said. So this is the exact same thing that we see taking place with Jesus, but this is what we see taking place as the shadow, the foreshadow of what Jesus would do. But it demonstrates the heart of Jesus for us, which is to always make provision. He never leaves us without if we'll look to him. Now, in that story in 2 Kings, when you see the man from Baal Shalisha, and he brought the bread, this is not just any bread. And it's important to notice that he said that he brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears in the grain that are still in the husk in his sack. So he's bringing, again, there's 100 men to feed. And here this servant, or here this man that was from Baal Shalisha, and is obviously a part of the company of Elijah. And he brings with him not just 20 loaves of barley and some other fresh ears of grain, but he actually brings the first fruits. So these are loaves, and this is grain that is the first fruits of the harvest. A lot of times we hear the word first fruits, or the term first fruits, and we just think of it as another saying or another word, another usage or lexicon for tithes. We sometimes throw those two things together, tithes, all three of those things, tithes, offerings, first fruits. We often think of first fruits as meaning tithes, and it's something entirely different. And the easiest way and the most simple way to look at it, and this is an oversimplification because there's a lot more to it, but you can look at it this way. First fruits is if you have a harvest, if you're a farmer and you go out and you plant barley, as this man did. So as he planted barley, as soon as the barley You know, it starts to grow up. First you have the shoot, then you get the head, then you get the kernels, and then it's time to start harvesting. But everything doesn't harvest all at once. Everything's not already at the exact same time. But when you find those first stalks of grain that are ready to harvest, the first fruits of the entire harvest, you take off those first fruits and you give them to God. You give the first of the portion to God. You give the first, and actually you're giving, it's symbolic of giving the best to God also. You give the first and you give the best to God. This is the first fruits. This is different than tithes. Tithes are when you get your, when you've already received. Then you take your percentage, your 10% off of, and 10% would be the Old Testament version. There's no limit to how much we give. You could give up to 90%. You could give up to 100%, and God would bless you abundantly for it. But you take your percentage of what you have harvested, and you give that to God. So first fruits is on the front end, and the tithe is on the back end. Now, the first fruits, usually, when you look at it in the Old Testament, first fruits would usually be bringing like a bushel basket of grain. So you're not bringing like huge, large amounts. You're not bringing 10% of the harvest. You're just taking the best of and the first. So they're bringing a basket full or filled with those grains, and you would offer that to God. You would take it to the temple. You'd offer it to God. The first fruits is the very first part, the front end of the harvest. The tithe is on the back end when you received it. Now, there's a reason for having it two ways. We understand tithing. If you receive whatever money you get, you tithe off of that. You receive your paycheck from work. You find your 10% or more, and you tithe that to your church or whatever you do with your tithes. You offer it back to God. You take out of that paycheck, you take your percentage out, and you give that to God. You've already received the paycheck. Now, you're taking the very beginning. You want to take the first part of that, but it's still money that you've received. You worked for that check, and now you've received the check. So this is the harvest that has come in from the labors that you put forth. So out of that, you tithe. That's on the back end. Now, here's what happens. When you tithe, it is like preparing so that your next harvest is going to be even greater. It's preparing so that you have even more abundance. That's the tithe. The first fruits is, again, it's you take the first, the very beginning, the very first part of the harvest. You take the very first and the best, and you give that to God. The first fruits is you give that to God so that the remainder of the harvest is blessed. The tithe is afterwards, and so it's like giving and preparing, sowing seed for the harvest to come the next time. But for the first fruits, you are taking the very first part and the best part of the harvest, and you're doing that so that the blessing of God would be on the remainder of the harvest. That's what the farmer would do. So this man from Baal Shalisha, what he would do is he's bringing the first fruits, and he's giving that to God. He's doing that as a way of, well, this way I'm trusting the Lord to bless the rest of my harvest. So there's a difference between the first fruits and the tithes. There's a difference. You can look at one. I mean, if you want to look at it in a secular way, the first fruits is like an insurance policy. It's like you're giving, you're taking out of the very first, which is going to ensure that the rest, the remainder of the harvest, is going to be plentiful and is going to have favor and it's going to be blessed and it's going to be the fullness of all the harvest that it can be. So that's what this man did in the Old Testament, in the story in 2 Kings with the prophet Elijah. So the man from Baal Shalisha brought the first fruits. And in those first fruits that he gave, all those men were able to eat. He brought the first fruits, not enough to meet all, not anywhere near enough to feed 100 men. And yet, you bring the first fruits, you give it to God, God will take it and use it, and God will multiply it so that there's an abundance, and everybody had enough to eat, and because God is a God of abundance, there is that left over. Now, when we read the same story in Mark, which we just read, and we also see this exact same story in other places, for example, in John chapter 6, gives us, in some cases, gives us even a more detailed view of the same story. But back in the Old Testament with Elijah, the man from Baal Shalisha, he brought that bread as a first fruits. First fruits is the very front end of the harvest. It is so that there will be. It is so that God will then bless the rest of the harvest. You can look in the old, this is an Old Testament story. This is under the old covenant. God was faithful. He multiplied it and there was abundance left over. But to me, it's key that this man brought the first fruits. Because this was the first fruits of the harvest that was to come. This whole thing is a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do and what Jesus was going to become. So here in this story in 2 Kings, we see a foreshadowing of what Jesus is going to do. What he did both physically and what he did spiritually. So as we see that God met the needs of the people by this little bit that was given, he multiplied it. Everybody ate and was satisfied, and there was an abundance left over. That's a foreshadow of what Jesus did when he fed the 4,000, when he fed the 5,000. And we just have those times documented. Who knows how many times Jesus did this? Maybe it was just the two times. Maybe it was multiple times. But it was foreshadowed by Elijah. What Elijah and the man from Baal Shalishta, what we see there is that was a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do. And then Jesus provided. He took that little bit that was offered because this was the first fruits. The man from Baal Shalishta, what he did was the first fruits. He brought that in so that there would be a blessing on the fullness of the harvest. We're seeing the fullness of the harvest through Jesus. Jesus is that fullness of the harvest because here's Jesus. He is God become flesh. Here in the flesh, he is fulfilling. He's taking what we saw in 2 Kings. He's doing that. He's building upon it. And he's also, because remember, the man from Baal Shalishta and Elijah, that was the first fruits. So it is that the rest of the harvest will be blessed. Here is the rest of the harvest. God comes in the form of Jesus Christ. And he meets not just the physical needs, but he meets the spiritual needs. Yes, he met the needs of the multitudes. He abundantly provided for them in the same way that we saw Elijah did, with greater results, as he fed the 5,000, which is probably closer to 20,000. But then if you take that story in the book of John and you read a little bit further, we see that Jesus later on in that chapter talks to the people who are still following him, and he says to them that he is the bread of life. He identifies himself as the bread of life. The man from Baal Shalisha, he brought the barley, he brought that, he brought the bread, the loaves of bread, as the first fruits for the harvest to come. This is just how awesome God is. He shows this thing in the Old Covenant, and the things of the Old Covenant pave the way and foreshadow the better promises that we have in the New Covenant. But we can also see here that those things paved the way for it. That man brought the 20 loaves of bread as a first fruits, so that the blessing of God could be poured out on the entire harvest, and we see that harvest in Jesus Christ. And again, Jesus demonstrated physically as he met the needs of the multitudes with abundance, but he also showed it spiritually as he himself is the bread of life. And then the harvest comes through Jesus Christ. The greater harvest comes through Jesus Christ. That is the harvest of all who come to know him, who accept his name. And for you and I, as we walk as his followers, followers of Jesus Christ, as we walk following him, we get to see that abundance in our lives. We get to see that, as we're going to pray, we get to see that harvest in healing, in our finances, in our lives, emotionally, physically, in all areas of our lives. We get to see the harvest of that, but it's also the continuation of his harvest because he gets the glory for it in all things.